Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock new opportunities in your business or portfolio.
Hello, and welcome back to M2I Alternative Investments Chat. I'm Erin, and this is Erica.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Regulation CF and Regulation A. So let's go ahead and dive into it. So first off, what is the purpose of Regulation CF and Regulation A? Both of these aim to provide alternative pathways for capital formation, particularly benefiting smaller companies who may not have access to the traditional routes of capital formation. And they represent efforts by the SEC, our friend the SEC, to strike a balance between investor protection and fostering innovation and economic growth in the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So that's pretty exciting. We can jump into regulation crowdfunding, which as soon as I say crowdfunding, I think that starts to get people, you know, they kind of know what crowdfunding is because it's kind of made a splash in the mainstream.
Exactly. But, you know, I think there are a lot of people who don't know what that is either.
So right.
Definitely want to make sure we give all the information we can.
Exactly. So Regulation CF, as it's also known, was introduced under the Jobs Act in 2012 and amended in 2015 to allow small businesses to and startups to raise capital from accredited and non-accredited investors through online crowdfunding programs or platforms. This regulation aims to democratize access to capital, which is, you know, kind of the whole name of the game that we mentioned just before. It helps broaden the pool of investors and allows them to participate in early funding stage rounds, which they might not have access to otherwise or prior to this regulation, and imposes limits on the amount that can be fundraised annually. So this actually allows companies to raise up to $5 million in a 12-month period online platforms.
Yeah, that's still a good portion of money. So It's like, you know, you don't need a ton, but definitely, like you said, going those traditional routes through banks might not be an option for these smaller companies. So this is a great way to do so. And also being able to do so online is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I know that for crowdfunding, it is pretty much you have to do it on an online platform. Mm-hmm. So this is great because I think everyone lives online now.
Yeah.
So nobody really wants to, you know, if you can do it online, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, a lot of people have access to the internet. So again, that's just broadening up the access for people. If you have heard of a crowdfunding platform, it's likely going to be Kickstarter.
I've definitely heard of that one.
Yeah, a lot of people have heard of it. People get really excited about new products that pop up on Kickstarter and things that they can participate in and help fund. If you see a cool invention or a cool product that you want to help, you know, get off the ground, that's a great place to go. One product that you might actually be familiar with that got its start on Kickstarter is Oculus VR, those VR headsets that you look really, really cool walking around with on your head. But in 2012, they had a crowdfunding campaign that surpassed its $250,000 goal. Mm-hmm. And in 2014, Oculus was actually bought by Facebook, or Meta now, for $2 billion. So
wow.
It was largely, hugely successful.
And in 2024, my two nephews bought two Oculuses and run around our house looking very special.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, running into walls and stuff.
Yes, yelling into the abyss. It makes me laugh. As an auntie, I love watching them.
Yeah, so that's one that you can think about as an example. Erica, I'm hoping that you could touch on some of the key features of Regulation CF.
Yeah, so with regulation crowdfunding, there are some investor eligibility great things that happen there. So you don't have to be an accredited investor. You can have accredited and non-accredited investors to participate in these offerings. So again, that pool opens up, so you've got a lot more people. It's not just to those high net worth people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to, like we mentioned earlier, it is online platforms or portals only. So that's really great. So it's conducted through an SEC registered intermediary, mm-hmm. Which is really cool. Again, you don't have to leave your couch. You can kind of do it online. So that's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Other things, you know, there are disclosure requirements, varies based upon the amount being raised.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we talked about it briefly last time, but every single time the SEC has different rules and regulations. So you have to follow those. And with crowdfunding, they are a little bit different. So you do want to make sure you're following, depending upon how much you're going to raise for your offering, to make sure you're filing correctly. Mm-hmm. There are investment limits. Limits on how much individual investors can invest based on their income or net worth to mitigate risk. Again, we want to protect our investors. You don't want somebody coming in and being like, oh, I think this is amazing. I'm going to invest every penny I have.
Right.
And then the product doesn't launch or fails. Yeah. And then you as the investor is out the money. So we want to make sure that we mitigate those risks. Mm-hmm. And then again, we kind of talked about this earlier, but there's ongoing reporting. So there, with regulation crowdfunding, you're required to file an annual report with the SEC and provide updates to those investors. So to ensure that they understand what's going on within your company. Mm-hmm. So, and then there are some other uses and advantages. So there's early stage capital access. So again, you mentioned early on that startups and small businesses often use regulation CF to access capital at an early stage of development. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of these companies can't go to a bank and get forms of payment to say, hey, I have this really cool product. Bank's like, cool.
Yeah.
Here's a dollar.
Right. They might have some issues getting loans.
Exactly. And venture capital, again, you don't have anything to back up your product that says this is going to be awesome. So you have to find other ways to raise money. Mm-hmm. There's a broad investor base. So Regulation CF allows companies to raise funds. Again, like we said, both accredited and non-accredited investors. Great way to get that money in. Because again, I might be able to get $500. You can get $500. Somebody else can give a little bit more or a little bit less. Mm-hmm. You can kind of go around and raise money from friends and family or people who are just interested in your product. Mm-hmm. There also are marketing and exposure. You can run campaigns online. We've kind of talked about Kickstarter, there's Rally, there's a lot of other platforms out there so that you can put your offering raise awareness about your company and your product. Mm-hmm. And then there's flexibility in fundraising as well. Unlike traditional fundraising methods, it allows complex negotiations and significant time constraints. The CF actually streamlines this process a lot for people, and especially since you're raising, you know, smaller amounts of capital through these platforms. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other amazing, like, advantages do you think that crowdfunding?
Yeah. So Reg CF can also mean lower costs for these startup businesses. They tend to be specifically more cost effective compared to traditional initial public offerings or private placements, as they have those less stringent regulatory restrictions mm-hmm. and legal fees. So that's a great benefit. And also along those lines, they have great regulatory flexibility. So it allows them to raise capital without the extensive reporting and compliance obligations that are typically associated with those larger public offerings. So that's something that's definitely intriguing for these smaller companies who are trying to save some money. So we can kind of pop into the compliance and regulatory considerations since we're along that line. So as we've kind of mentioned, there are some disclosure requirements, certain disclosure requirements. They have to provide certain disclosures about their business, including financial statements and other material information to potential investors. So investors have a little bit more info about their company and what they're actually investing into.
Yeah, that's pretty normal, too.
Very normal. And the actual level of disclosure varies depending on the amount being raised. So for offerings up to $107,000, financial statements certified by the principal executive officer are required.
Okay.
For offerings between $107,000 and $535,000, the financial statements need to be reviewed by an independent accountant. And for offerings above that, there needs to be audited financial statements unless the issuer has not previously sold securities under Regulation CF. So you can see there's just a quick little breakdown there. There's also some filing requirements. Issuers are required to file a Form C with the SEC before launching their crowdfunding campaign. And this is basically just letting them know what's happening. And this form includes information about the offering, the issuer, and the terms of securities being offered.
Pretty standard. With the government needing to know everything about everything.
Exactly. And you mentioned earlier intermediaries, mm-hmm. and there are some requirements for intermediaries. So platforms or intermediaries facilitating Regulation CF offerings must be registered with the SEC or FINRA, which is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. So that's another one that you'll hear a lot along with the SEC, as funding portals or broker-dealers. So these need to be legit, registered online platforms. It's not some random website.
Website you just go to and accidentally give your money to. Yeah, sorry, exactly. Sorry, Thelma, thanks for your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Never to be seen again. That makes sense.
Yeah. And they are responsible for conducting due diligence, ding, 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 on issuers and ensuring compliance with regulatory requirements. There's also some annual reporting obligations. Believe it or not, even though we're talking a lot about reporting and these certain things you have to file, it's still less than some other offerings,
that are out there. In general, yeah.
So issuers must file an annual report, which is called a Form C-AR, through the SEC's Electronic Data Gathering, Analysis, and Retrieval. It's called EDGAR. It's a cool acronym, system within 120 days after their fiscal year. And this information includes information about the issuer's financial condition, results of operations, changing in ownership and capital structure, if there is any, financial statements certified by the principal executive officer. And like we mentioned, must be filed 120 days after the end of the issuer's fiscal year.
Again, government needs to know all the things that they need to know. But again, some of this is for the investors' benefit as well, to ensure that we're protecting them and their investments.
Yeah, of course. And the SEC can make sure there's not anything shady going on.
Right.
So, Erica, I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about Regulation A.
Absolutely. So Regulation A, also known as Regulation A+, like myself, A+, is a framework established by the U.S. Securities, the SEC, that facilitates capital raise for small companies through public offerings. Mm-hmm. It was introduced under the Title IV of the Jobs Act in 2015 and offers an alternative to traditional IPOs, which is the, public offerings, mm-hmm. and private placements. So companies can raise up to $75 million mm-hmm. annually. So there's some really cool key features with Regulation A, and that's accessibility. Regulation A aims to make capital raising more accessible for smaller and emerging companies that are not meant or that don't meet those requirements for those traditional IPOs, mm-hmm. or find private placements limited. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear IPOs a lot. Most stocks, that's what it is. When you watch NASDAQ or the S&P 500, those are all public offerings. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of like that, but not as public. So there are investor participation options too. So it allows both accredited and non-accredited investors to participate in the offering, again, broadening that investor base beyond traditional investor or institutional investors. And then there are also two different tiers under Regulation A, which is really cool. So tier one, you can raise up to $20 million in a 12-month period with less stringent requirements, no ongoing reporting obligations. You do have to submit a report on the final status of the offering to the SEC, and you're subject to state securities, those blue sky laws that we talked about last time. So sometimes those states require, every state's a little bit different, so you got to make sure you're following all the state laws. And then there's tier two, which raises up to $75 million in a 12-month period, but it has a little bit more rigorous reporting requirements. They are exempt from most blue state laws, however. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit, you don't have to follow, every state has something different, so you don't have to follow all those. Mm-hmm. You are obligated to meet periodic reporting requirements, however, and that's by submitting annual reports, semi-annual reports, reporting a final status of the offering.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, there are those investor limitations. Individual investors participating in the Tier 2, that $75 million offering, are subject to investment limits based on their income and their net worth. So you might want to check all those out to make sure that you're not getting scammed or you're not investing too much.
Yeah.
And then specifically, non-accredited investors can invest up to the greater of 10% of their annual income or net worth, while accredited investors, they don't have that limit.
Yeah.
Again, they've got that net worth of, you know, $1 million minus our
residential,
their primary residence, all that good stuff. So there's tons of advantages. Why don't you talk about a few of those advantages and typical uses of Regulation A+.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a reduced regulatory burden, which you kind of mentioned earlier. While offerings under Regulation A still require the SEC to review and approve them, they generally have less stringent regulatory requirements compared to traditional IPOs, such as lower registration fees and reduced ongoing reporting obligations. So that could be a huge advantage. At the same time, you're still getting that public market access. So companies who are raising funds with Regulation A could potentially list their securities on the national exchange, providing liquidity to investors, which can be really attractive to potential investors.
It's that stock market you can sell whenever you'd like.
Yeah, pretty much. And enhancing the company's profile in the public market. So that's a huge benefit. Also, you can benefit from community engagement. Some people can get really excited about being an investor in Regulation A, and it can help foster a sense of ownership and loyalty to the actual offering, which can work in your benefit because you're able to directly engage with the community of customers, supporters, and potential investors. So that's hugely helpful. Some typical users, typically it's going to be smaller and emerging companies, like we mentioned. That's not always the case, but typically that is who utilizes this type of offering. Yeah. And that can be small and medium-sized enterprises, those SMEs, startups, and sometimes even real estate ventures. So some key considerations here, cost and complexity with Tier 2 offerings, they generally involve higher costs due to more stringent disclosure and reporting requirements, including the need for audited financial statements. So Tier 1 is a little bit less stringent. Tier 2 is more stringent, therefore more costly.
Yeah, because in Tier 2, they're allowing you to raise $75 million.
Yeah.
That's not pocket change. So they want to make sure that they're getting those reporting. Again, that government wants to know all the things, so they want those reporting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's for the protection of both the company and the potential investors.
Absolutely.
Also, with investor base, Tier 2 offerings can attract a broader base of investors, including institutional investors, due to the exemption from blue sky laws and enhanced transparency. So that's a good thing to know. And with market access, both Tier 1 and Tier 2 offerings allow issuers to potentially list their securities on National Securities Exchange, providing liquidity and visibility in the public market, which we've mentioned already.
Yeah. You want to get your offering, your company out there, raise that money, get people to help you out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And liquidity can be really attractive to particular investors if they feel like they need to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
So now you, our lovely listeners, know the difference between Regulation CF and Regulation A. Again, just as a quick recap, both regulations aim to provide alternative pathways for capital formation, particularly for the smaller and startup companies. And it helps them access financing that may be difficult for them to acquire in a traditional route. And they also represent efforts by the SEC to strike a balance between investor protection and fostering that entrepreneurial spirit and allowing people to get their businesses off the ground, which obviously helps our economy overall.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And then always please remember to explore these options and seek professional guidance for compliance and investment decisions in anything that you do within the investment platforms.
Yep.
Again, thank you for joining us for this episode of M2I Alternative Investment Chats, and we hope to see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode, and don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with M2I. See you next time.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.